T-minus 60. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado.
Well, I guess he didn't screw anyone over, Clark said, first to respond to Godfrey's speech as it finished airing on ACN. He muted the speakers.
Publicly, Emma qualified. Something tells me he didn't get so many delegates to fold at the last minute by asking nicely.
As Godfrey's speeches went, it was fairly standard, what with his unshirking criticism of Unica as a whole and his characteristic reference to political history with the League of Nations allusion. Indeed, the biggest surprise had been that there were no real surprises. Emma and Dan breathed easily, her mind primarily eased by that general lack of surprises, and Dan's more particularly by the welcome discretion over Billy's discovery and incarceration. Dan did find it difficult not to be slightly envious of Clark, who would apparently get to see the Dortlu Tepe pillar up close, but in reality he didn't want to go anywhere and was glad his brother had stepped up to the plate. Tara, meanwhile, was decidedly unhappy about Clark's imminent departure, yet had absolutely no wish to join him. She flat out refused to consider being away from Piper during such a difficult time for Dan and Emma, and even after thorough discussion, didn't understand the need for the four-stop tour fully enough to accept it. It didn't help Tara's mood that Clark had instantly taken Emma's input on board while completely ignoring her own, in a move she saw as all too symptomatic of her viewpoint never being taken seriously. Clark did all he could to reaffirm that he would be perfectly okay and back in Birchwood before she knew it, but the promises fell on deaf ears. The time he took trying to ease her mind made him glad that he had already packed everything he needed for his impromptu but important trip to Buenos Aires and beyond. With only 10 minutes left until his planned departure time, he was also very glad that Godfrey hadn't waited any longer to give a speech he'd been naturally keen to see in its entirety. The worst moment of Clark's final few minutes arrived when a call came in from his father, Henry, who had found out about Clark's trip only while watching the speech at the grill with Phil Norris and Mr. Bird. Henry McCarthy was out of the loop on everything all over again, and Clark dearly hoped this wouldn't have to be the case for long. But the potential cost of spilling Piper's secret made it even more delicate than any other they'd had to temporarily keep from Henry, and Clark knew that his father would understand that in this case, discretion really was for the best. Dan had shared his concern about Piper's encounter with a squirrel earlier in the day, when his overactive mind could have sworn she was consciously trying to pull it closer, but Clark quickly convinced him, and the sisters, that Piper was a 7-month-old baby who couldn't possibly understand the nature of a telekinetic ability she had used once, by accident, let alone deliberately attempt to wield it.
I was just gonna park there, but do you want to drive me to the airport?
Clark asked Tara while he put on his shoes.
It'll give us some time together.
Not going to Argentina would give us more time together, she replied flatly.
Clark sighed as he opened the door and stepped outside.
The only person I'm not doing this for is myself, okay? At least try to see that.
Tara went straight into her bedroom, leaving no time for the scolding she predicted Emma would have delivered if she'd stuck around much longer.
Is she okay?
Dan asked. Like, okay, okay? Because sometimes she's not, and it's not just a bad mood kind of thing. Emma threw up her hands.
Are you okay? Am I okay? Do I have an ocean of mental energy to spend on another adult when we have a baby who needs even more attention than she did last week?
Dan said nothing.
We can't fight, Emma sighed. I'm sorry, it's just everything's so...
Dan hugged her, trying to stem the flow of pent-up tears. He was glad Piper was asleep, at least, but within seconds of Clark's departure, he already couldn't help but think that the tour might not have been the best idea.
Mr. McCarthy, a moment, sir,
someone said, catching Clark by surprise as he unlocked the car. Clark was all set to blow a gasket and physically chase the reporter away from an area of Birchwood which was supposed to be closed off to non-residents, but his mood and expression changed quickly when he saw that the request came, in fact, from one of the Secret Service agents tasked with keeping the area and its globally renowned inhabitants safe from such intruders. The man looked only a few years older than Clark, late 30s at most, and was as immaculately turned out as they always were. Clark had seen him around from time to time with one of the other agents, but always made a point of avoiding them whenever he could. Only now, when he was leaving town, did he feel any sense of relief that capable eyes and hands were guarding his family.
What's up? He asked. I have a flight to catch, so I can't talk for too long.
It's about your trip, the agent replied.
Well, your absence. You know that our orders here are to guard the perimeter and stay off the property, and that comes from the top. But when you're not around...
Clark tipped his head back, looking down at the slightly shorter and considerably lighter man. He didn't like where the conversation was going.
If there was ever a situation that required a life or death intervention, are there any anti-intrusion security measures that could cause injury to someone entering the property unexpectedly but with legitimate reason?
Very slowly, Clark scratched his chin before opening the car door.
Listen, buddy, because I'm only saying this once. If I find out that you put so much as 1 foot on this property while I'm gone, I won't be picking up my phone to call Slater and telling her to get rid of you.
Good, the agent said, because we're here to protect.
I'll be picking up my phone to call the fucking morgue and telling them to expect you,
Clark hissed. He slammed the car door and reversed hastily out of the driveway, leaving the agent positively speechless at the curbside.